Jesus ascends to heaven, but in ascending to heaven, he is actually closer to us. He's not ascending to heaven where he becomes distant and far away, but ascending to heaven, he actually becomes closer to us. Because in taking on our flesh, he also took on the limits that we have of time and space. But now, Jesus takes our flesh into eternity, which does not have those limits, and he's able to be closer to us now, and us closer to him. And it's heaven that he ascends to. He ascends to heaven. In a couple weeks, hundreds of young people from Dickinson here alone will be graduating high school, and many of them are going to be very much looking forward to starting college in the fall. And in fact, now probably they're thinking about it. They're thinking what it's going to be like. They're even longing for it. They're getting excited about it. And they're beginning to prepare for it. And then those who graduate college and those who even get a new job, you start thinking about it. What's it going to be like? Even with all the unknowns. And you get excited about it. You start longing for it. Or a couple that's preparing for marriage, they're thinking about what this life together is going to be like. And more in their engagement, they start longing for this life together, marriage. They get excited for it. They're preparing for it. And this is all these different things in life. We spend so much time thinking about them, beginning to long for them, preparing for them. And I want to ask you an honest question. You don't have to share it with your neighbor next to you or anything, but I want you to be honest with yourself. How often do you think about heaven? Do you ever long for heaven? Do you get excited about heaven? Do you prepare even now for heaven? You know, college, you go off to, 4 years? Some people maybe 6, 7. A new job that you get, you might have for 10 years, maybe 20 years. Marriage, you might be married for 50, maybe 70 years. There's a couple in our parish in a couple weeks are celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary. That's a long time to be married. But heaven is eternity. It's eternity. And that's part of the problem, isn't it? How do we even begin to wrap our minds around what it is to enter into eternity? St. Paul says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And so it's the difficulty of trying to even comprehend what heaven is. But the very best image which captures this difficulty is an image that C.S. Lewis used. And it's the best one that helps me. It's the image of the child in the womb. You know, if you were able to go to a child in the womb and describe to that child what life is like outside of the womb, how difficult that would be for the child to even begin to comprehend. A child in the womb is able to sense light, right? Whether you're in a room or out in the sun, or you're in a dark room, the child senses light and darkness. But to begin to describe to a child in the womb what a beautiful sunset looks like, or what it looks like to look up upon the northern lights, they experience a little bit of light and darkness, but they have no way of understanding and comprehending the fullness of what that light and darkness is able to do and to look like. A child in the womb is able to hear noise. You can play music and the child hears it, but not as we hear it. A child hears it all muffled. But they can hear sound, But to try and go to the child in the womb and describe what it's like to wake up in the morning well rested and to hear birds chirping outside your window, or to hear a beautiful song. A child can hear sound, but music is something else altogether. This would be like if an angel were to come to you from heaven and try and describe to you what heaven is like. We have things in this world that help us a little bit, but they're only shadows of what heaven is. The life in heaven is so much more real than the life that you're living in now. This life and everything you see and everything you experience, it's a hint, it's a small foretaste of what heaven is. But it's only that. It's a shadow land. As heaven is so much more real than the life that we experience now in this life. This life here, and the Lord describes it in these terms, is like living again in the womb and waiting to be reborn through our rebirth in death into eternal life. But the Lord reveals to us in his revelation small glimpses of this, both his revelation in the Word of God and his revelation in creation, glimpses of this, and also in his sacraments, he gives us foretastes of this. And he does this to stir within our hearts a longing for heaven, a longing for him. And so of all the things of heaven, just two things I want to point out with it. Heaven in terms of our loved ones and heaven in terms of God himself. I went last Sunday and visited one of our parishioners who she's very close to going and to seeing God face to face in judgment. And she asked me in our conversation, she said, if I get to heaven, will I know and recognize the people who I loved in this life? Will I know them? Will I be able to talk with them? The people and the loved ones that we know in this life, who we see in heaven, will actually know much more deeply. We will know much more fully in heaven than we know in this life. Our loved ones, in other words, in heaven, will be much more closer to them there than we are here. And this is all of our loved ones. Someone who you know may have known for years, your mom, who you shared everything with, and she would have known you better than anyone else. In heaven, that knowing her in this life is only a small little glimpse of the incredible depth in which you'll know her and she will know you in heaven. Even a child that you carried in your womb for but a short time and were never able to hold in your own arms, you'll know that child in heaven. And they will know you fully. And in fact, those who are in heaven now, all of those who are in heaven are saints. If you're in heaven, you're a saint, whether you're canonized or not. The teaching of this is the teaching of the communion of saints. And those loved ones of yours who are in heaven, they are closer to you now than they ever were in this life. Because they know you much more deeply now in heaven than they knew you on this earth. Because on this earth and in this life, your relationship with one another, your relationship with me, all of it is through this facade. There's a mask. That's this life. This life is veiled. But in heaven, that's not there. Because holiness is the unveiling of your true self that God created you to be, and the fullness of the glory that he created you to be. And those who are in that glory, they see you. And this is the beautiful importance of the closeness of the saints, that they know you and they're able to pray for you in intimate ways. And your loved ones in heaven are able to do the same. You are closer to your loved ones who have, pray God, gone to heaven now than you ever were on this life here on earth. And so our loved ones, this life and the closeness is but a mere shadow of that which will be in heaven. And this is only because of God, because we'll know and see each other in light of God. There was a priest who in his last years I grew very close with. My whole family did. Father Al Leary. He was here for a number of years as pastor. Do you remember him? He's the one who put the windows, these windows in the church. He died 10 years ago. And his last 2.5 years, he had bone cancer. And so he knew when he was diagnosed that it was terminal. And so he spent his last couple years, in these couple years that I got to know him really well, knowing that he was preparing for death. He was actually one of the priests, he along with my brother, who vested me for the first time in the chasuble at my ordination. And he actually, the last time I saw him, he gave me a gift. With the precious blood today, we have an extra chalice. He gave me one of his chalices. And I was visiting with him. It was the September after my ordination, and I was going back to Rome for one more year of studies. And he died a couple of months after that, and so it was our last time talking. And he had said that he was ready. He said, I wasn't ready when I was first diagnosed, but I'm ready now because all I want is God. That's all I want right now. All I want is God. Heaven and God Himself is the fulfillment of every desire. And if I still have desires that I think are better than God, or the idea that heaven and the image that God uses so often of the closeness with Him in heaven, which is that of a marriage and a marriage banquet, if I think of heaven and being with God and the things of God and worshiping Him for all eternity as boring, then I'm not ready for heaven yet. If I have desires which I think are better than God, I'm not ready for heaven yet. But God in His mercy, He will give me the opportunity to have those desires purified, purged, either in this life or in the next, purgatory, so that those desires can be reordered to Him, so that I can see clearly that all desires in my life, in this life that are good, all of them find their fulfillment in God alone. Every good desire you have. And so like the experience of sitting out, like yesterday evening, on the perfect spring evening, 72 degrees, a little breeze, the sun is shining. You're sitting out there with your loved ones and your family, and you're thinking, this is just perfect. I wish this moment would last forever. But you know it won't, because the bugs are going to come, and the wind is going to come back, and those loved ones who you're in such joy with right now, they're going to start to annoy you again, and you them. But everything about that, everything that's good about that, the communion with other persons, the joy of that moment in communion, the beauty of it, the love that you're experiencing, all of that is fulfilled eternally in God, in life with Him, in this closeness with Him. And it's why it's so important that at the heart of prayer is us taking all of our desires which God gives us, our desires which are meant to be these arrows pointing to Him, and taking in prayer these desires and giving them to God so He's able to purify them and prepare us for life with Him, to desire Him alone, and to experience closeness with Him even in the midst of suffering, and even in the midst of preparing for our own death and mourning the death of others, that we experience in that the closeness of God. And so on this Ascension Sunday, to pray and to ask God to stir within your heart a desire and a longing for heaven, to be with him and to be filled with his joy now and for eternity.